Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Show me your power. Let me and more of you is what I need.
I want your glory.
Let me.
Give her.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. We thank God for this day, amen, for this today that the Lord has made. We thank God for another opportunity that we can come on tonight and receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study as we continue our study of lesson of grace. Amen. As we live in a new covenant of grace. Grace with no boundaries. Limitless grace. Amen. Countless grace. New grace. Amen. And new verses. So we're back here on tonight again. I'm just so excited to be here and be in position. We welcome everyone tonight. We are the Gospel Public Ministries here in Houston, Texas. We're senior pastors, Pastor Doris A. Manning, and Apostle Tawanika Manning. We welcome you with the love of Christ. So I pray you all can hear us well on this line. It's a little bit staticky this evening. I'm not sure what's going on with it, but we'll do it. Amen. And we're having some feedback, some static, so hopefully is coming through fine. Let us pray for NT and our lesson on tonight. Father God, we come giving you our honor, praise and glory and all the admiration. We come exalting your name above all names, for there's no one greater than you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity that you've given us, oh God. Lord, that we can stand on your promises of yes and amen, that we can receive, oh God, for you've called us, oh God, to be more than just hearers and readers of your word, but be doers of your word. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name on tonight, Lord, we ask that you open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive from you great and mighty. Lord, let there be a great pointing, oh God, of your godly wisdom, direction, oh God, that we may receive understanding and that we may apply your word, oh God, to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. And we just want to say thank you. We come against every unteachable spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of distraction or frustration, every lying spirit, manipulating spirit, controlling spirit, every spirit operating on this line or in our homes outside the Holy Spirit. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare our deliverance on tonight that we are free. And because Jesus Christ has set us free, we are free indeed. Hallelujah. We just want to say thank you, and we love you, Lord God. We thank you that you loved us first. And it's in Jesus' name we pray that we enter in and receive. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Manning is here. He's in the building. Amen. So we're here together on tonight. Amen. I love the unity. I pray for, you know, everyone. Marriages that God has put together, God has ordained, and even in your family. I pray for divine unity where the enemy has caused confusion or separation, division in the home. I pray for unity between parent and child, husband and wife, friends. Amen. Pray for that on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, because we have Christ in us, amen, we have the love of Christ in us, that we operate according to the love of Christ, to be willing and ready to release grace. Amen. Freely we have received in grace, the grace of God that we give to others. Amen. And that means getting forgiveness. Amen. Being able to forgive one another. A lot of times we're going, oh yeah, I got the grace, I release grace, but we're not quick to forgive. Amen. So tonight we're going to start in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 through. Let's just read 8 through 10 for tonight. It's 8 through 9, but I do want to go ahead and read 10 as well. Again, if you're just now logging in or with us on tonight, we're still in the lesson of study, continued study about grace and grace, boundless grace, unlimited grace, you know, limitless grace. And you're that kind of grace that knows no limits, you know, to say, you know, reckless grace. And I don't care what it is, what it look like, sound like, grace is still made ready available for those of us who are in Christ. And believe it, amen, because it's all about your belief. A lot of times we don't believe that, so we can't receive it in order to be able to give to others. So tonight we're going to be coming out, firstly, on the start in the book of Ephesians. Again, it's chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. I'll give us all a moment to get there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I said, I pray you all can hear me well here, even with it being all quiet for those that are listening on to it later. Amen. So the Bible says, I'm coming out the New King James Version in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In verse 10, just to add that on to tonight, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And when we look at the scripture here on tonight as we continue in our lesson of study about, you know, boundless grace, limitless grace, reckless grace, and understanding that we're living under the covenant of grace. Amen. So when someone gives you a gift, and I want us to think about that, when someone gives you a gift that's very, very nice, something you always wanted. So let's say I give my husband a gift, something he's always wanted. Now, how much did you ask me how much I owe you? You know, when somebody gives you a gift, do you go, okay, well, how much I owe you for this? Like, this is a gift. You know, why are you trying to buy something that I'm gifting to you? This is a gift to you. So understanding that. So if somebody's giving you a gift, just have understanding. Do you ask them how much I owe you? Let's say for your birthday or for Christmas or, you know, or any celebration. They say, I have a gift for you, and they come and bring it to you. And you say, okay, well, how much I owe you for this? You know, you take the gift and you receive it, and you thank them for it. And so, of course, you know, again, welcome everyone that's coming in tonight. So, of course, the appropriate answer is no, no. The response to the gift is thank you, or I appreciate you so much, you know, and just, you know, giving thanks to the person who took their time out to even think about you, to give to you, you know, and just thanking them because they didn't have to do it. I would tell my children, they're like, nobody has to do anything for you. Nobody owes you anything. So anytime somebody gives you something or do something for you, be thankful for it, you know, because nobody has to do that for you. So always being in a place of, you know, gratefulness and being thankful. But I want us to understand so often, Christians, and we are Christians, we're in the body of Christ, even after they have been given the gift of salvation, I feel obligated to try to work their way to God. Why is this? Because our salvation and even our faith are gifts. Amen. We should respond with gratitude, with praise, and with joy. Hallelujah. I was here this morning at work, and they asked who wants to pray, and nobody says anything. And of course, they just go, okay, Chantel, you going to pray? And I'm like, okay. And I got there, and I always want to start shouting. And, I get so excited. My husband always, I get really excited, and I have to pull myself back a little bit because They want you to do these little rush 1 minute prayers and stuff like that, and I'm just thrilled and I'm just so excited and have so much gratitude, and just thanking God for the gift of life, thanking God for the gift of salvation, thanking God for sending His only begotten Son. You know, the gift that we have here, and especially when we're talking about grace, the gift of grace. Amen. So I want us to understand when we become Christians through God. God's unmerited grace. We're talking about unmerited grace, and not as a result of any effort or ability or intelligent choice here, or of an act of service on any of our parts. Amen. On any of our parts. However, out of gratitude for this gift, we will seek to help and serve others with kindness. My husband and I were having a conversation. I was just saying, when we in Christ and Christ is in us, you know, we operate with love, and it's just certain things that we should not be doing. You know, it should not be saying, you know, as being a part of the body of Christ. There's certain ways that we should be operating in the way we should respond to one another. You know what I'm saying? And to operate in love and with care. And that's very important. You know, it's easy to operate according to this world, but operating according to the one that lives in you. And you're saying, you know, Christ abides in me and I abide in him. I have the Holy Spirit operating in me. But do you really look like that? You know, do you really look like Christ? And that's in your essence. And people are looking at you going, okay, you're in Christ, but you're not lovely. You're not kind. You're not friendly. You know, the way that you're going about doing things in your action is nothing similar or looking like Christ. So it's very important that we operate with this gratitude for this free gift that we receive. We seek to help and serve others with kindness, with love, and with gentleness, and not merely to please ourselves. Number one, it's not about pleasing ourselves. While no action or work we do can help, I want us to understand, to help us obtain salvation, God's intention is that our salvation will result in the act of service. Amen. We've been called to serve. So in an act of service with this great gift that God has given to us, amen, with grace, we are not saved merely for our own benefit, but to serve Christ and build up the church. And we are the church. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Man, do you have anything you want to say? I can't see you. Okay, so we're just going to dive in a little bit more deeper here in our lesson. I thank God for the lesson on tonight that we continue on. And you know, and what's so good about it for me, I say, it's just even though we read the Bible over and over and we may go over the same lesson over and over, just bringing those things back to remembrance when you get out of position, you know, we reposition ourselves, resetting ourselves, resetting our mind, you know, and being in a position where we can be used and operating according to the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that we come together as one body in Christ, as the church. Amen. So I want us, when we read this scripture that we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, I'm, you know, just saying, I'm just a sinner. You hear this all the time. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. A lot of people say that, right? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We're going to talk about this tonight, okay? Because I want you to have a new way of thinking, because now your mind should be renewed. You should understand that you're a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. The old man or woman of God has passed away. The new has come. Amen. That you're a new creation. So you're no longer that sinner. But you have to change your mindset. And we're going to talk about that here. You know, as we're talking about grace and the grace of God, you know, and hearing people say that, you hear it quite often in the body of Christ. You hear people say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've probably heard these words before. So those words echo a lovely sentiment. People say it with a big problem in a word, just. There's a big word, just. When you hear that, the one little word embodies a lie from the pit of hell that I'm committed to rebuking. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you being just a sinner saved by grace, by God's grace. You know, yes, we've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve death for our sin, which makes us all the more grateful for the reckless or the boundless or the limitless grace of God. So, yes, of course, you are a sinner saved by grace. But I want to tell you this, church. I want to tell you this, my friend, on tonight. I invite you to consider this for a moment. In light of the grace, you've received it. It is that all that you think you are, that's what you are. Just a sinner saved by grace, and that's what you are. You're just a sinner saved by grace. If that's your way of thinking, if that's all you think you are, then you'll spend your entire life living like you believe it's true, which is called sinning by faith. It's called sinning by faith. So faith is an exercise in belief. And when you believe your identity rests in anything or anyone other than Christ, you'll return to the old identity as a reference point for how to do life. You'll hold on to your old man identity or old woman identity as an excuse to resist the grace of God. So and through that filter, you'll never fully receive the gift of grace that he has for you. He has for us, the body of Christ. Because if you're just a sinner saved by grace, it keeps you from realizing your full identity in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, it completely misrepresents God's character and his affections toward you. Towards us, the body of Christ. He loves you far too much to leave you where you are in your sin. Hallelujah. As deep calls to the deep, so he calls you out. Hallelujah. I want us to understand what I'm saying. As deep as he calls you to deep, he calls you out as a new creation. A new creation. Amen. See, it's the enemy that want to keep you in that place of being the old, keeping on. God is giving you, hallelujah, you got those filthy rags that you used to have. Hallelujah, I want you to understand you're not that anymore. You don't operate in that same, hallelujah, in that same calling that the enemy has called you in. Yeah. My Lord, my God. So if you don't know who you really are in Christ, you'll keep on doing what people who are just sinners saved by grace do. You'll keep doing it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. My Lord, my God, be delivered on tonight. You'll keep on sinning, accepting it as a inevitable, what's the word I'm looking for there? You'll keep on accepting the same thing over and over and over.
You know what it sounds like.
Pastor Manny wants to say something here. Hallelujah. We'll let Pastor Manny speak here. Give us just one moment here. Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. The center, am I holding it right?
Okay, hold it. You got it.
Hold it right, mm-hmm. right here. Okay, I'm hearing this lesson, and I'm liking this lesson, and I have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like making an excuse to keep on doing the things
yes,
that you have already been
lesson.
Doing.
Yes.
Oh, my, did I mess it up? I hope
no,
you're
good.
We're
just going to get back on it. Go ahead.
Well, that's all I have to say. I don't want to mess the lesson up, but that's what it sounds like when you say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. What they're saying is that grace, I mean, it sounds like you're saying grace have entered in on the inside, and grace is making the necessary things happen in my life to change, but I don't want to change. So I'm going to say I'm just a sinner saved by grace because, you know, grace is trying to change. It's trying to move you from that place that where you used to be. Dead man or the old man or the crucified man,
yeah.
you know, into the new man, and you're still trying to hang on, you know, to who you used to be. I hope I didn't mess it up.
Mm-hmm. No, you didn't mess it up. That's just being on one accord there, and it's because when you do hear that, and then you got guess what, you have other people following you saying the same thing. Oh yeah, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, God know my heart. So they continue in that sin, in that sinful way, but we are set free. You know, we're redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. But the thing you have to do is question yourself, have I really truly received the grace?
Yeah.
Do I believe? Because God has given it to us, but do you believe that? And that's more so of the problem of our belief.
I believe so. I believe there's a lot of us who are saved by grace. Period. I believe there's a lot of us who are saved by grace. You know, at the same time, you know, I also believe and recognize that there's a lot of us, you know, that are identified as being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's hard for us to say, you know, because, you know, when it's time to mature or when it's time to be Christ, or when it's time to be anointed, or when it's time for grace to move,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like you're wired. I think me and you had this conversation one time. It's like you have been wired your whole life to think a certain way and to act a certain way, mm-hmm. you know, to live a certain way. And then, you know, now you are saved by grace, you know, now, you know, there's a place to where there's something that it actually takes faith for you
mm-hmm.
to do. It takes faith for you to live as God has created you to live by grace. That takes faith.
Yeah, it takes faith, yes, yes. Since you're right here with me, you want to grab the Bible for me?
Yes.
I want you to read a couple of scriptures here. It doesn't matter whatever verse. You just let us know what version you're coming out of. We're going to start in the book of Romans. I just need you to read from a few of them, turn from me to read from me. Amen. If you're just not coming in, we were talking about, you know, reckless, limitless, you know, grace with no boundaries on tonight here in our continued lesson. Romans, let's start with Romans 8, 31-34. While you're pulling it up, I want to go ahead and read here as we continue on talking about, you know, boundless and limitless. Okay, just one second here. Okay, so as we're talking about grace here and understanding that, you know, the saying that you hear that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, the sin will keep you captive as you continually try to repent and earn back the grace that God has already given you. Or worse, that sin will make you apathetic, you all, and even agreeable to its enslavement. The enemy will continue to pose the same relentlessly uncreative question he's been asking since the beginning of time. Did God really say it? Did God really say that? That's what in the beginning in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Adam and Eve, he asked, did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
Did he really say that?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Yeah.
So, and it's still here today, you know, that we deal with that in the Bible. Did God really say that? Many are saying that they believe and have faith, but they're still questioning. Did God really say that for me? Is that me? For me? Is it true? Can I believe that? When we look in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, 34, did God really say you're forgiven? And Pastor Ben is going to read that for us. Romans 31 to 34.
Romans 8.
Chapter 8.
31 through 34.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And I'll read this from the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Define New mm-hmm. Living Translation. Okay. Romans 8 and 31. It reads, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? 32, since he did share even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give everything else? 33, who dares accuses us whom God has chosen for his own? Amen. 33, it also reads here, no one, for God himself has given us right standings with him.
Mm-hmm.
And 34, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died. He died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is seated in a place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us.
Amen. Say right there, Romans. We got to keep on. The question, I want you to say this. Did God really say you're secure?
Just
say the question. I want you to read.
Did God really say that you are secure?
Yeah, read Romans 35 to 39. And you said yes.
Okay. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 from the NLT reads. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. You want me to read
35 to 39.
35 through 39.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 in the New Living Translation reads. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity.
Mm-hmm. Calamity.
That's what that is. Calamity. Thank you. Or are persecuted or are hungry or are in danger or are treated with death.
Mm.
36. As the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed. Every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep.
Mm-hmm.
37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us.
Yes.
And 38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. 39, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now go to John chapter 1, verse 12.
Okay.
The question is, did God really say you're adopted? We're going to look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. It's going to be St. John.
St. John chapter 1 and verses.
Verse 12. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
St. John chapter 1, verses 12 from the King James. It reads, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Three more.
Amen. And we're going to go to John chapter 15. Did God really say you're a channel of his life? Did God really say that you are a channel of his life? John, St. John chapter 5, verse 1 and then verse 5.
John chapter 15,
and we're going to start at verse 1.
Okay.
And then we're going to go to verse 5.
All right. John chapter 15, verses 1 from the King James Version. It reads, this is Jesus speaking, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman," the gardener.
Yeah.
"Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it," or he purges it, "that it may bring forth more fruit." 3. "Now you are clean." Amen. "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. 5. I am the vine, you are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing."
Amen. So just, you know, reading this and understanding who God is and what Christ came to do, and understand that it is done, it is finished. Amen. So we have the grace, and so we're not just sinners saved by grace. Amen. And he may wrap a half-truth on us and send us a mortal blow. And we're talking about the devil because that's what he's here to do. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. Mainly the word to get you to come out of that place of believing. Amen. Last I heard, all you are is just a sinner saved by grace. And this is the enemy speaking. Yeah, you just a sinner saved by grace. That's all you are. You ain't nothing more than that.
Yeah, this word is, I like what 3 says. I like what 3 says.
Uh-huh.
Time that someone says that, "Oh, you old dirty self, you old dirty dog," or "you no good, low down so and so." Anytime, even if you say that about yourself, "I ain't no good," "God don't love me," or "God, I know that he seen what it is that I did. He heard what I said. I must be a dirty so and so." Look at what the word of God says. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says right here in 3, "Now you are clean."
Amen.
I like that. "Now you are clean." How are you clean? He says, "Now you are clean through the word which I spoken unto you."
Amen.
Now, if God say you're clean, then that should be settled in your mind and settled in your heart, no matter what anybody else say. Even it don't even matter what you say about yourself.
Jesus.
Because nothing that you say can overturn what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if God said you're clean, then you're clean.
My Lord.
If man said that you're dirty, but God said I'm clean, so I'm going to believe what God says.
Mm.
That's the better way to do it, right?
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say you're so much more than just a sinner saved by grace. As Pastor Manning was saying, God said it. God has a final say, then you are what God said. It's settled right then and there. But when you believe that,
yeah,
it's all about your belief. Mm-hmm. So it's time that you embrace who you really are by receiving God's grace in full. Amen. And being who God called you. I decree and declare over your life that this madness stops tonight, today, and this very hour. Amen. That you be delivered and set free. It's time to let your old man, your old woman, sinful self die and let your new identity in Christ be your first and only identity. Be your only identity. You got to be careful. I'm speaking to a young lady today, which you speak over yourself. You have power and authority, and that you can decree a thing and it shall be established in this earth, in your life. So you got to be careful what you're speaking over yourself. Speak your new identity in Christ. If you're in Christ, then you are a new creation, a child of God, a beloved son and daughter of the King. We were once dead in our sin, but there is no longer, that's no longer the case for us. Those who are in Christ. Amen. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are so much more than just a sinner saved by grace. It's time you embrace who you really are by receiving God's grace in full. In full. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Dan, you want to say something?
I can.
Open up the floor for
Oh, the floor is open for questions. Okay. Yes, I thank God for his grace.
Yes.
Thank God for his grace. And I even thank him that his grace, you know, that I have is nothing that I have earned. And you said in the beginning, you know, it's a gift. You know, it's grace is unmerited favor. You know, marriage, you know, you earn marriage, you know, you earn points or you earn things. So there's nothing that you can do to earn the grace of God.
Yes.
And you know what? Look at it, at coin on the other side. There's nothing that you can do or have already done to not be able to receive it either. You know?
Amen.
You know, and a lot of times we look at it like, okay, well, there's nothing that I can do to earn it. Oh, I thank God. But we don't look at it on the other side, the part that actually keeps you condemned. Look at all that I have done. So I don't deserve, you know, God's grace. So what you're saying, I don't deserve God's help.
Jesus.
No, you do, because that was the whole intent. That's the reason why God gave his life.
Yeah.
For the whole world that they may be saved,
yes.
But not just, you know, saved, but filled with him, a full of him,
yes.
Full of grace. So there is nothing that you could have done. Remember Rahab?
Yeah.
Rahab, you know, in the Bible, you know, she is was a prostitute. That spies that, you know, that came in and, you know, Rahab, you know, she is considered to be one of the heroes in the Bible, you know? So it's like, so I'm just looking at that story, you know, and I'm not, you know, comparing, you know, her story, you know, as being a prostitute or someone that today's time would be considered to be in the entertainment industry, you know? But what I'm saying is that even through sexual immorality, that is not enough for God not to love you. Look at Apostle Paul, which was Saul, you know, being a murderer, you know, he was a killer. He killed believers. He killed believers. And he thought he was doing right. Even that not enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, for not to be filled with the grace of God. So what is it can you do? And we've already read that over in Romans.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I want to talk about identity shift, because now you have a new identity in Christ. And a lot of us, we want to continue to operating that old man, old woman of God, but still claim that we're in Christ and Christ is in us, but we have yet to put away the old identity or kill that thing or let it die, you know, the old way of thinking, the old way of being. Amen. So it's by grace of God that you are not only saved, but also given a new identity.
Yes.
We are now new creations in Christ. The old has passed away and the new has come. Amen. So, and that new identity does not come with permission for you to remain in your sin.
Yes.
The grace of God liberates you from the power of sin and death so you can live free in the abundant life that God calls you to today. Amen. He doesn't want to wait until you feel like you have your act together or everything is lining up how you want it to be. He wants to move in and through you now. It is out of your new identity in Christ, hallelujah. And Christ sees that you have the capacity to run from sin and to choose obedience. We have now the capacity. They've been given the capacity to run, you know, from those temptations of this world, from the sinful way, and to choose to be obedient to the will of God and walking according to God's plan and will for our lives. It's an identity that leaves sin and death back on the cross where it belongs so you can walk in the light of freedom. Freedom. I remember one time you told me, you said, when I decided I was going to tell the truth, when I decided I wasn't going to allow no more, I was going to come clean, the freedom that you receive, you know, and to go back to that captivity. Who wants to go back to that? Like, then you're free, the freedom of that. Now you don't have to worry about that thing. Or now you got to come up with something else, you know, to keep that going, to keep that covenant of freedom. So who wants to go back? I'm just using that for an example. I hope that was okay.
That was a great example.
And, you know, and walk in that freedom, that light of freedom of being free. So why would you want to go back to that, you know, captivity? Why would you want to go back to that? You're free now. And a lot of people, you know, they talk about the day of freedom and being free, and then when they become free, they do things to put themselves back into captivity.
You know what? I think you just hit a place right there. I think you just hit a place right there, Apostle. You know, when you really know that you're free, and you, I think I shared that with you about a time where I was, you know, I was very, very, very young in Christ. I think I might have been 2 days saved or 2 years saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was still living, you know, like I had always have lived. And I was living a life, you know, so full of lies because I was just wired to do that, you know. I just thought that was the thing to do, how I want to do. And cover it up with lies and say what I want to say until one time I got caught.
Mm-hmm.
I got caught lying, and it was time to come clean. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of the most terrifying moments at that particular time that I had ever faced, is to be caught up in the lie, you know, because there's consequences to pay when you're caught up in the lie. But then I realized at some point, you know, when I was being, you know, persecuted, and I understand what that is, when I was being put to shame, you know, that's that persecution there.
Mm-hmm.
While I was being put to shame, you know, being young in Christ, I literally experienced probably for the first time what freedom really feels like. Freedom really feels like peace, or that's what it really feels like. Freedom really feels like the peace and knowing that you are all right. You are safe. Everything, no matter what is being said about, no matter what, you know, is being revealed, you know, that don't count no more. That don't count. I got you. And when I heard God speak that to me in the middle of me being put to shame, oh, it was like a peace and a freedom that came over me, and I just made a decision from that day all the way to this day. I'm going to go after the truth. That don't mean I'm always going to tell the truth. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to go after the truth because I want to always experience that feeling, that free feeling of no burden, no shame,
mm-hmm.
no guilt, you know, just to walk around, you know, and not having to worry about, you know, looking over your shoulder or just feeling like, you know, that I'm unjustified or I'm just, you know, I'm a bad person, you know, just feel like that I'm just a good person, a free person because God has freed me. And, man, it just feels so good. Mm-hmm. I just felt so good. And I do my best to try to not allow people to throw me back into the lying man, mm-hmm. or the liar. You know, I do my best to try to, you know, to stay in that place of telling the truth. Sometimes it get hard to tell the truth, but I'm telling you, find yourself telling the truth about self and, you know, and telling the truth about things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to find yourself in a peaceful place, and money can't buy that. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be able to have this time to really just open up and to hear, you know what I'm saying, to really hear and to be transparent. Yeah. So as we get ready to wrap up here, I just want to, I do want to close out with something here as we're studying. And understand you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a saint in whom dwells the very spirit of God. Amen. Amen. To the saints who are at Ephesians, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and 1, mm-hmm. the word saint comes from the Greek word hagios, meaning holy or consecrated to God. So throughout Scripture, the word is almost always plural, referring to the saints. You may not be feeling particularly pious at the moment, but God has set you apart for himself, kingdom purposes. The saints are quite simply the body of Christ, his church. He makes us saints through his grace and then calls us to live like saints out of the new identity that he gives us. So throughout any assumption about those who have earned a position of sainthood, from the Apostle Paul to Martin Luther to Mother Teresa, not one of them achieved sainthood except by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. It was given to them freely as a gift, not as a reward for righteousness. And the same goes for you and I. Amen. Can you begin to grasp what this truth means for your identity? It means you can cut it out with a sinner identity lie. God has pulled you from the muck and mire and set you apart in a place of high honor, not because of anything that you've done to earn a saintly title, but because of God's limitless and boundless grace to you and to anyone who believes, and I say that, believes, amen, believes in the name of Jesus. The grace and authority of God has given to you, hallelujah. God has given to you, it comes with the fantastic kingdom responsibilities, including the forgiveness of sin through the release of God's limitless and boundless grace. It's from the place of receiving that you're able to turn around and give grace to others as Jesus intended. If you forgive the sin of any, their sins have been forgiven of them. But if you retain the sin of any, they have been retained. But remember, releasing God's grace only works in the overflow of grace received. And in all scripture, perhaps no one knows this grace better than a woman about to be stoned to death for her sin in the book of John 8. We heard about that woman where she was brought by her accusers because she was caught in the act of adultery. Hallelujah. I want to talk about this as we wrap up here. We have a few minutes here. I think I have a little bit of time here. Being caught in the act, Jesus in Jerusalem, teaching in the temple, the crowds are blown away, and the Pharisees are furious. They decide to pull a fast one on Jesus, test and see if he will really honor the law of Moses publicly in light of the grace he is preaching about. So one way or another, the religious leaders know of a woman who at that very moment is committing adultery. They catch her in the act, they drag her out into the streets and throw her at Jesus' feet. I want us to understand this. Envisioning this shocking scenario brings up a host of questions. How did they know where she was? And how could they possibly know that she was doing what she was doing? And is she clothed or did they drag her out in all her naked shame? And the most obvious question, where is the guy she was with? You know, I know that it's like, where's the guy here? You know, they brought her, but where's the one that she was committing adultery with? And why didn't they drag him out too? Why we didn't have a clear, you know, cut answers for much of this? We see that they're willing to destroy this woman's reputation in her life in order to entrap Jesus. So this is how religion controls, by finding scapegoats and heaping guilt, shame, and punishment upon them. You know, have you felt like a scapegoat? Have you? I want you to understand, church, that you're not alone. You're not alone. When they bring this broken woman to Jesus, he bent down, and we know this scripture. We've heard it being preached. We've read it ourselves, where he bends down to the earth in another symbolic yet very literal gesture. He writes in the dirt with his finger, just as God did when he wrote the law of Moses. The scripture doesn't tell us exactly what Jesus wrote, but after he writes, Jesus delivers his famous line, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Come on now. Boundless, reckless, come on, limitless. The law clearly says she is to be stoned, and yet, one by one, her accusers walk away, leaving this woman and Jesus alone in the middle of the street. Scripture says Jesus then straightened up and leading us to believe he had stayed down in the dirt with her the whole time, likely shielding her nakedness from the eyes of the accusers. He straightens up and then he asks her a fascinating question, one that gives us an even greater revelation of John chapter 20, verse 23. "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" It's an odd question as they both just watch the accusers walk away one by one. But Jesus isn't asking because he wants to know where her accusers are. Jesus is asking if she sees anyone with whom he can come into agreement on how she should be judged. The Bible says she said, "No one, Lord, my Lord, my God." And when she says no, Jesus defaults to his original position, grace, limitless, boundless, reckless grace. No strings attached, no questions asked. And Jesus says, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." The order in this grace exchange is critically important. I don't want you to miss this because it's what we're called to emulate as we release this limitless, boundless, reckless grace as Jesus intended, as we wrap up here in the last 7 minutes. One, I don't condemn you either. Before she can wipe the dirt from her face, before she can utter a word of repentance or thanks, Jesus initiates with grace. He makes the first move. He forgives her. And when he speaks these words over her, he sets her free from her sin. Two, go from now and sin no more. The woman absolutely doesn't get off the hook, but Jesus invites her to walk in the freedom of the grace he has just extended to her. In this moment, Jesus puts something important on display. He intends for us to find freedom first and then sin no more. When this adulterous woman meets Jesus, she discovers she's not who she thought she was. Through Jesus' grace and forgiveness release, she is restored in an instant to her original identity and lovingly challenged to act accordingly. Empowered by grace to walk in freedom, she goes from sinner to saint in a moment by the power of grace, released and received. I want us to understand, it was released and received. Do not miss the power of what happens here. You see, when Jesus says, "Go from now on, sin no more," I don't believe he is giving her a challenge to live up to. The very words Jesus carried the power to create life and to turn on the lights of the universe to shape history and to awaken the hardiest heart. I believe when Jesus speaks over her, he is saying, for more than we realize, he is pulling the hook of sin from her heart. He's empowering her to walk in her identity as a child of God, a child of a good father. She is graced with a supernatural love that will forever be the answer to her deepest longing. Her Savior has refused to condemn her, and she will never be separated from his love again. She has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and now she is free. Hallelujah. Why do I believe that? Because that's what authentic grace does for us. while it doesn't leave you free to sin, grace sets you free from sin. Amen. And if the Son sets you free, guess what? You are free indeed. Hallelujah. As we wrap up here, this divine order translates to our responsibility as stewards of God's grace. We must be the ones to initiate limitless and boundless, reckless, without fear or concern about how it looks to others or how the individual might react. Why? Because that's how Jesus did it. And it's and let's be honest, his good shepherd track record is downright impressive when it comes to calling us back to where we were always meant to be. That's what the grace of God really looks like. Here's on tonight, let's do a recap. Here's a recap on the grace process and how it works in the overflow as we wrap up here. We got about 4 minutes here, and we'll just try to wrap this up here. Believe it, receive it, release it, repeat it. Hallelujah. Believe it first. God initiates grace by giving it freely as a gift through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Receive it next. We receive God's gift of grace in full, which not only includes accepting God's gift of salvation, but also accepting Jesus' releases of boundless and limitless reckless grace in his call to forgive the sins of others in the book of John 20, verse 23. Release it, then we can release the grace of God from the place of overflow and forgive the sins of others by extending this limitless, boundless, reckless grace. Amen. And then repeat. We, in turn, go back to the beginning, receiving even more grace as a reward for our faithful stewardship. Hallelujah. Church, even as a saint, you won't walk out this cycle. You won't walk it out perfectly. There will be times when you end up striving to release grace because you haven't yet fully received it raw and filtered. Or perhaps you received it once, but you've forgotten the power of the gift you've been given. But receiving and releasing grace imperfectly doesn't excuse you from doing it, nor does it disqualify you from the joy of beginning to let God's grace work in your life. Amen. However incrementally it may come, it's time to remember, receive it again, who God really is, the gift you really have in Jesus, and who you really are because of God's limitless and boundless grace. God is your loving Father, the one who gave everything he had to reconcile you back to himself. Jesus is your Savior. He's our Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. He conquered sin and death for us, amen, so that we could be reconciled with our loving Father. Hallelujah. You are a saint, an adopted son, a daughter of the King of Heaven, and a co-heir with Christ, rescued, redeemed, reconciled, and blameless in the sight of God. Hallelujah. May God add a blessing to the reader and hearers on tonight, most of all, the doers of his word. As we receive the grace of God as a gift, freely we give to others that same gift of grace. Amen. As we wrap up here on tonight, we'll see Pastor Manny. Do you have any closing remarks on tonight? You have any closing remarks? Comments? All righty. But we're going to wrap up here on tonight, church. And, again, we just thank God for this opportunity once again that we've been able to come here on tonight to receive. Amen. It definitely was a refreshing to my spirit. I feel restored. I feel renewed. I feel blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Though we sometimes may slip into those places. But remember, we are the light of the world and salt of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray as we close out here. Father God, we just want to say thank you for your grace, oh God. Thank you for your limitless, boundless grace, oh Lord. We thank you, oh God, though we're not deserving, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made it all possible for us. Amen. We thank you for your shed blood that reconciled us back to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do. And Heavenly Father, as we leave this time but never your presence, we thank you, oh God, it's you that is with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that we can decree and declare that we're already blessed, that we are saints. Amen. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing it all, that we are the righteousness of God, and we bless your holy name, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Y'all have a blessed night in the Lord. We'll be back here on next Wednesday, same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us for Sunday service at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We look forward to having you in service with us. God bless you. God keep you. Remember, Jesus is Lord and the devil is already defeated. And you're already blessed. Hallelujah. Amen.